Hi there, this is Jonathan Bingham. Welcome to Get Connected. I pray that God's Word will challenge you, encourage you, and equip you wherever you are in your walk with Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening to this audio presentation. This lesson series is a verse-by-verse exegetical study of the New Testament book of James. It was presented to our adult Bible study at Eastside Church in Marietta, Georgia, over a 13-month period beginning in the spring of 2016. Note that discussions are edited when personal information is being shared. God bless you as we study His Word. And good morning, everyone. I've been looking forward to this lesson for some time. It is a difficult one, and in fact, it's one that I really wish everyone in our class could be here for, because we talked about this. James, when he wrote the book of James, likely put the most important stuff up front. Not to say that when we get to chapter 5 that it'll all be down, that it's all downhill from here or anything like that, but his biggest concern, the grandest concern that he had for the Jewish Christians who had dispersed from Jerusalem, who had kind of been run out of town, was the fact that they were going through trials. Their lives were incredibly difficult. They were suffering, going through difficult times. And so he spoke to that at the very onset, at the very outset of his talk, his letter to them. That's where he began. And so we're going to start with a really difficult passage, a difficult issue, but one that is so encouraging. And that's why I was talking with Trina yesterday, and she asked me what the lesson was going to be on, and I told her, and she said, I'm sorry, I'm going to miss it. And I said, yeah, you really need it. And she said, what do you mean by that? but yet, she does need it, and we all do. Basically, you might put it this way, we're going to begin asking one of the most difficult questions, or facing one of the most difficult questions that we as Christians will ever face. Why do bad things happen to good people? And there's not a good answer for that. And James doesn't even just come out and say, that's the question and here's the answer. But he does give us great, great counsel. And he helps us know how to think about difficulties in our lives. We talked early on in this study, but we talked about the fact that James is a difficult book to outline because it's a whole lot like Proverbs. I mean, take the book of Proverbs and give me an outline of that. Hard to do. Not impossible, but hard. And anything you'd come up with, you know, if we all sat down and did it, every one of us would come up with a different answer. And yet, if you look at the book, there are some things that you can kind of put in chunks. What I've done is looked at chapter 1 in the book of James and call it, in its entirety, the topic, trials and temptations. Trials and temptations. And so that's what we're going to be studying about for some time. We're going to look at that in a lot of different ways. Where we begin in verse 2 is with the first section of this chapter, of this topic, and that is external trials. And so that's where we will begin today. If you've got your Bibles, go ahead and open, if you haven't already, to James chapter 1. And the first section is verses 2 through 12. Really, if we get through verse 4 today, I'll be shocked. Because this first section, verses 2 through 4, is the core. That's where we're going to be today. And it is a huge, huge, very important idea from James. So if someone, though, would read for us verses 2 through 12 in James chapter 1, that'll get us started, please.
Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously, without reproach, and let it be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. But let the brother of humble circumstances glory in his high position, and let the rich man glory in his humiliation, because like flowering grass he will pass away. For the sun rises with a scorching wind and withers the grass, and its flower falls off, and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So too the rich man in the midst of his pursuits will fade away. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him.
Thank you.
Thank you. So there's the passage for us that we'll be studying over the next weeks. And today, verses 2 through 4. We've talked already about the way that James uses imperatives like crazy in this book. In fact, of the 108 verses, there are 54 imperative verbs. So we're going to be coming across a lot of those. In fact, I decided that I was going to start counting them so that when each time we come across one, we'll know which number we're on of those imperative verbs. We have two of them in our passage that we're going to be talking about today. He starts out saying, consider it all joy. Count it all joy, if you remember from the King James. Count it all joy. And that is an interesting way that he begins the conversation about trials. Let me read something. Douglas Moo is one of the commentators that I'm using as a background. He says, why does God allow the righteous to suffer is indeed one of the most perplexing and difficult questions that God's people can ask. James gives no complete answer, but implicit in what James says is a conviction that the suffering of believers is always under the providential control of a God who wants only the best for his people. And so that's a great place for us to start. That kind of gives us a summary idea for us to know what to expect. And here at the very, very beginning, he says, count it all joy, consider it all joy when you fall into these trials, excuse me. And we're going to talk about most of those words, all the key words we're going to go through and talk about that. But really, the first thing that I want to mention is when you fall into diverse, the King James, I always laugh because it's spelled divers, and I'm thinking, okay, anybody in the scuba, then this is for you. No, diverse or various is how a lot of them are translated. And really, it's cool because the Greek word that's used there means literally multicolored. Multicolored. And so when you think about that, really the idea is the spectrum is incredibly broad of the kinds of things that James is talking about here under the category of trials. Now, these things are all external, and we're going to see how he positions all that kind of stuff. But just get in your mind, the trials that he's talking about are incredibly diverse. There are lots of different things that it could be, and they're not all bad things either, by the way, things that can go into the category of trials. And when I started studying this a week or two ago to try to get really in-depth in this specific passage, I'll admit that I started crying at this point because I, in my mind, stood up in front of you guys and I went from chair to chair and started thinking about the trials that I know about that we have faced in this class. And I started thinking about cancer. And cancer, and job loss, and difficult children, and job loss, and a disease that won't go away, and difficulties with spouses. Spouse who's lost, being single, wealth, a debilitating accident, having a handicapped kid. And I thought, wow, we have a rainbow of trials that we have faced in this room. And that's just the stuff, the big things that we know about. And that doesn't count what we're all going through right now. I've heard it said that every growing Christian is either in the middle of a trial, they just got over one, or they're just about to get in one. And it's the truth. So this topic is one that is so practical. It is so applicable for us. So as we go through this, I think, man, it's for us, and it's useful. So let's talk about this. Okay, so James's whole point here is not to solve these trials. His whole point is to help us to know how to respond to them as we're going through them, because trials will come. That's definite. One thing you don't hear James saying is, count it all joy, brethren, if you fall into diverse temptations. He says when. The reason is because they will happen. They will happen. And so it's an imperative at the very beginning. Count it all joy. Now, what does that mean? We're gonna understand what that means in a minute, but just realize that what James is talking about here is not, he isn't telling you to feel happy. He's telling you to think in a way that he's about to describe. Think this way about those trials, and it will completely change your response to them. He's going to tell us how to think. So that's what we're going to get to. We've talked about various. It's broad. It's a spectrum. Some good things. I mean, wealth was in that list. And wealth is one of the most difficult trials in some cases. Fame. List the number of actors and actresses who have thrived in their morality, in their spirituality, as their fame increased. Many of them claimed Christian, you know, Christian roots, Christian lives, Christian a relationship with Christ, and in fact, many of them were godly folk. But when they go through the trial of fame, few come out the other end anywhere close to okay. So, not, you know, you think fame, that's not like cancer. But the outcome can be just the same or worse. Well, what is this word that we're talking about? It's difficult because in the King James, I mean, that's where I memorized this passage. And so for me, it's diverse temptations. It's not trials. But oddly, or interestingly, that same Greek word is the one that's used everywhere for both of those two ideas. Trials and temptations, both exactly the same Greek word throughout. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. He'll not allow you to be tempted more than you're able, but with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. That word, temptation, it's the same word as we have here, trial. But you know, because of the context here in this first section, that what James is talking about is not being tempted to sin. It is going through difficulties that test your faith. Very clear from the context. Now when we get to verse 13, the foot will be on the other hand. We'll be talking about temptations caused by our own insides, caused by us. But these are trials that are from the outside.
my notes, I thought, had something good on this. It said, basically, tempting is when something's trying to entice you to do something wrong. And a trial is an opportunity to do something right.
Oh, cool.
Which I thought was a nice way of putting it all together.
That is neat. Interesting. We talked earlier, I kind of went through a list. Hopefully it wasn't a list that reopened a whole lot of painful wounds. And I also mentioned, though, that even with that list of big ones, that we all likely are going through trials as well. So I'm not going to ask you to list it up on the board or anything like that or raise your hand, but think about your life right now, today, this morning. What trials are you facing? Certain that you're in the middle of at least one or more, may have just gotten finished with one or more. But think about that. I want you to have that in mind as we talk about this stuff today. Okay. He goes on. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, when you encounter these various trials. That's another interesting word. It's only used one other place, and it was when the guy was walking down the road and he fell into some thieves. Gives us a really clear picture of what James, you know, how James positions these trials. These things are unexpected. You didn't go looking for them, and they came from the outside. They are external events, conditions, circumstances, things that affect us from the outside. They're unexpected. Just like the guy was ambushed, we in our lives get ambushed by these trials. Well, let's look here at the word trying. As we get into verse 3, I guess it is, knowing that the trying of your faith works patience. This word is an interesting one also. It only shows up in the New Testament twice, here and in 1 Peter. And in 1 Peter, where it shows up, it's clear that there, the testing that Peter is talking about is the kind that proves whether or not somebody is a believer, whether or not they are a person of faith or not. But in our context here in James, that is not what James is talking about. The trying of our faith that these trials introduces, that these trials introduce into our lives, is a trying that purifies. Being tried by fire is a good way to look at it. And if you know anything about metals, then you know what happens when you put those metals into fire. When you try them, they get more pure because they melt, the crud comes to the top. Kind of like when I go through a trial, the crud comes out in my heart. But when that metal's melted and when that crud is coming to the top, the dross, then the metallurgist takes that off the top. And then when it cools back down again, that metal is more pure. That's exactly what James is talking about here. So, trials are an opportunity for us to refine our faith, to refine our character. So I want to ask you, I asked you a few minutes ago, think about whatever it is, that trial that you're going through, those trials that you're going through right now, today, and maybe those big picture ones too. What might be an outcome in your life, a good outcome, a godly outcome in your life caused by, that would be the product, the result of that trial or those trials? Think about that. I'll give you a second. What might that be? And for every one of us, it's probably different. But I bet we could take all of those different answers and put them all kind of in the same bucket. Godly character, endurance, perseverance. And that's exactly what James says here. He then begins by saying, let endurance have its perfect work. That's our second imperative, by the way. But in the King James, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. So what is this patience or endurance that James is talking about? That is the outcome that he thinks is so valuable and so important from the trials. The possible outcome of the trials that we're facing. James says that endurance is the outcome. Patient endurance is this word that's used here. Staying power is what Dr. Vaughan calls it. Here's what Dr. Moo says. The picture is of a person successfully carrying a heavy load for a long time. That's the result of going through trials. It's not relief. It's strength. In fact, as you study through this and look at the Greek words and the pictures that are being used, then what you see is the same idea as what when you go to the gym and you start working out. And at first, it's really, really hard to pick up even a relatively light weight. But you do it, and you do it, and you do it. You get stronger, you get stronger. And that is the muscle that develops in you as you go through trials is your endurance, your patience, your strength, your staying power. And now, what I thought was really cool, this idea of endurance that we read about in James, why is that so important that develop? I guess the Lord brought me to Hebrews chapter 12. And there, the writer of Hebrews gives us a great picture of why endurance is so important. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance. The same word. Let us run with endurance. That's Hebrews 12:1, Teresa. Yes. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. At first, I just stopped there and thought, that's great. But then I went on. I thought, let me read on and see what else might relate to this verse. And all of a sudden, it just fits perfectly when you look at the whole picture. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him. Joy. Wow. Count it all joy, James says. Well, Jesus lived this out because he counted it joy. For the joy that was set before him, he endured, there's that word again, the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. But don't stop there yet, even. For consider him, Jesus, who has endured, there's that word again, such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. That's James's desired outcome. Endurance so that we won't grow weary and lose heart in the midst of all the trials that we're going through. Does that make sense? Isn't that a beautiful parallel there in Hebrews chapter 12? Well, James says, let that endurance have its full, complete work. The word that's used there, every time you see the word perfect or complete, that is the word telos. It's the same word, it's the same root of the word that you guys all know about Jesus on the cross. It is finished, it's complete, the debt is paid. Tetelestai is what he said in Greek. The debt is paid. It's the same. That's the same root for completeness. It is the word for maturity. When a young man grows up and he's grown, he is called telos. Mature, complete. He's finished growing. That's the word that's used here, and it's just used over and over again. In fact, it's used more often in the book of James, relatively to the size of James, than any other book in the entire New Testament. And thus, the statement I made last week about James's purpose or theme for writing may well be maturity. You guys need to grow up. And so here he begins at the very, very beginning of the book talking about maturity. And he says, let endurance have its complete work in you. Let it finish the job. Don't walk away before it's done. And that's a really important point for us. We'll talk about that again in a moment. This work that endurance is wanting to do in each of our lives, it has a completion. There's a point that it will be finished. And James says, let it get there. Don't cut it short. Don't stop short of that goal, of that outcome. And so he's telling you, don't try to short circuit it. Don't try to get around it. Don't even try to avoid it. He doesn't say go looking for it. But don't think of trials as your enemy. There's an outcome, and that outcome is maturity. That outcome is endurance. And so let endurance have its perfect work, its complete work. And this is so cool. He uses that word twice. Let patience have its perfect work in you, that you may be perfect, mature, complete, consummate. Is another word that you could put in there. Consummate, by the way, I'd never knew exactly what it meant. It means showing a high degree of skill and flair, complete or perfect, the word consummate. And that is what James is talking about here. Let endurance do its thing so that you will be mature and fully baked. Complete is that next word. They're synonyms, but they're different. That second word, that you may be perfect and entire in the King James. This last word, the second word there, is like a puzzle that has all the pieces. A deck of cards that has all 52 or 54, depending on if you count the jokers. But it's all there, complete. It's not missing any parts. That's what that word means about us, about that endurance, about the result of the trial. And then, if that weren't enough, he then says again, lacking nothing. Lacking nothing. There's a warning in that last statement, that lacking nothing. And that is that you can miss it. You can stop it short of the goal of letting endurance do the complete work in you. Be careful not to. But that's a serious temptation for us. You know, for many of us, maybe we have money, maybe we have power, maybe we have some way to get out of the trial that we're in. James warns us, don't do it. Don't try to short circuit God's plan of trials in your life. Because if you do, you won't get the full, complete result. Yes, sir.
Can we discuss a hypothetical?
Yes.
I mean, I would think that if we have means to remove ourselves from the situation, then we should. Can you give me like some kind of example so I can...
Well,
sorry to put you on the spot.
No, that's a good question. There are lots of potentials. I just need to think of a good example, because for me it's a really easy. How about this? A good hypothetical one that's kind of out there. You have a kid who gets in trouble.
Okay, I'm with you so far.
Father's name's Clark.
if they get arrested, what are you going to do? So what conclusion did you all come to? Is there a way to short circuit the trial?
No.
I guess trial could be literal and figurative.
I think it's all based on how you look at each situation. Because, I mean, personally, what I do is I know God's not going to give me anything I can't handle. Mm-hmm. And I try to look at everything, like everything that we deal with. It's life, you know. It happens. Everybody's got their different trials. And I know I'm going to get through it. Just I have to keep my mind and my eyes on God. And it helps get through it a lot easier, at least for me.
Okay, so to answer the question of your hypothetical.
Yes. See, I've got the money.
Okay, well, I mean, I could do several things. I could allow the course of the events to go on and totally withdraw, which I think would be incorrect. But I could also be the father that was there to support and go through the trial with the kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could also, you know, if I was powerful and influential, you know, just sweep everything under the rug and get the kid out.
And that's the point. That's short-circuiting the trial.
You're stepping in and rescuing, and sometimes the trial needs that.
Preventing, in this case, the consequences.
So what we could say then is be ethical and do everything you can to support and to get through it, but do it ethically and don't try to
pull something.
Yeah, don't try to get out of it.
That's it. I mean,
don't claim influentia
or affluentia.
Yes.
Yeah. And remember what we studied here a while back, Proverbs 22:3. The prudent see danger and turn away. I'm not saying that when you see a trial coming, that you floor it and go woohoo. If you can rightly avoid it, then avoid it.
Yeah, that was my thing.
But if you find, I mean, the guy that was walking down the road who got attacked and ambushed by the thieves and then, you know, finally rescued by the Samaritan guy, he didn't know it was coming. Right. It fell upon him. I mean, it was unexpected. He got attacked. And that's how these trials are that James is talking about.
And that would be different than if there's two paths to where he was going and he chose to go down the one that's dangerous.
Knowing that it was the wrong time of day, that there are known hoodlums that live there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was doing what he was supposed to be doing and he got attacked by these thieves in that case. We are going about our lives and we get attacked by these trials without us choosing them. And not because of our wrongdoing.
And there's plenty that we get into that we choose.
Yes, yeah. But there are ways, many times, where we can short-circuit God's hand and God's purpose for trials. And if we do that, we don't get the benefit of the trial, and truth be told, God just says, okay, I've got plenty. I'm going to get the outcome I want. If you're growing, if you're following me, then I'm going to get the outcome I want. That is your maturity. That is endurance in your life. I'm going to get it. You can either go through this one fully and get the benefit of that, but if you don't, I've got more down the road. I'm going to get my outcome.
But it's not saying that we should just accept what we're going through and say, well, you know, I don't want to get to the other side of the thing and say, well, I sure am glad that I went through all that crap because I'm better for it now. That's not what you're saying.
It is what I'm saying. That you can look back, you can look at the trials you're going through right now and the trials that you have been through with an entirely different perspective. And that is what James is telling us to do here. Count it all joy when you go through the trials, because the trying of your faith, these trials produce endurance. But don't stop short. Don't stop this process, because the trial, the endurance that it's developing, is my goal for you to be mature. And that's the only way to get there. If I want to look muscular, if I want to be buff, there's only one way to get there. Only one way. I can't buy it. I can't. There are shortcuts with steroids, but even steroids, you still have to work out, right? You still have to do the work. The only way for me to get strong is to work out, some way or another. Not necessarily at the gym. It might be with a shovel or a hammer or a wheelbarrow. But there's only one way for me to get strong.
Totally agree with you. What I'm saying is, as part of developing that muscle, is if we find ourselves in a situation that we can get out of by work, you're not saying, just go through it and get all beat up, and as when you get to the end of it, you're going to be better and stronger. We need to try to resolve the situation as we're going through it.
You know, Greg, your question and your point is perfect for verse 5, which we're not going to get to today. I'm not joking. Your line of thought is perfect for verse 5.
Well, I mean, it makes sense that if we can try to help ourselves and get out of the situation, whatever it is, I don't know, we are developing the skills and the attributes to be able to persevere through something. That's what I'm thinking. Not that we're... Never mind. We'll pick up next week.
One of the things that I like about the verse is... look at what's being tested. It's our faith in God. It's not our faith in, have we prayed enough, or do we have the right theology, or whatever. You know, it's really, we're really talking about our relationship with God here. And going through, you know, verse 5 talks about God wants us to ask wisdom. That might be the way of escape, or whatever, in a sense, over temptations and all. But the focus here is on our relationship with God. And don't do anything to get out of trials to hinder your relationship with God.
Listen to, this is kind of a summary of these verses, but we're not done yet, because there is another important thing that I want for us to talk about that I think you guys will really appreciate. Like how the topic is how to reduce the number of trials that you have in your life. I know how. I'll tell you next week, Lord willing. But here's a summary maybe of these verses that'll help us at least come to a conclusion for today. Listen to this. I wrote this. The trials we face are varied, and while they are not joyful in themselves, we should recognize with joy God's purpose and their valuable product in us. Dr. Vaughn said, the Christian knows, or at least ought to know, that his trials are a spiritual discipline essential to the maturing of the Christian life. They are designed to purify faith, produce patience, and perfect Christian character. And then finally, I think this is Warren Wiersbe said, God wants to make us patient, because that is the key to every other blessing. And then he goes on, the only way the Lord can develop patience and character in our lives is through trials. The only way. Endurance cannot be attained by reading a book, listening to a sermon, or even praying a prayer. Not going to be produced by being in here today either. We may know better how to deal with them, but it's not going to help unless we actually do it. We must go through the difficulties of life, trust God, and obey Him. The result will be patience and character. Knowing this, we can face trials joyfully. So James's goal for us is to completely reset how we think. Consider it all joy. To reset the way we think about trials. Because if we understand that this crud that we're going through is actually going to produce in us the godly fruit of good character and endurance, then it's not a bad thing, even though it may be horribly painful, incredibly difficult, and incessant. It's still God's purpose, God's plan, and God's outcome that he desires and that he looks at and goes, wow, I like that. All right, next week, Lord willing, we'll pick up with that. Let's pray. God, I thank you for the time that we've had, and I pray that you would teach us in our hearts and give us the discipline when we see trials to look at them as good things because of what they will produce in our lives. We ask that you would give us wisdom and discipline to do that. Pray for my wife and daughters right now. Please visit that situation. Lord, go with us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.